stand saying, this world that I, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. 443. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This joy and love that we have, it comes when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, the same Spirit of the living God.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall.
Freshness of your Spirit to be upon us right now, Lord. Father, as we prepare to look into your scriptures, we pray that our hearts will be open and we'll recognize you, and that, Father, we will be able to bring you honor and glory. Father, thank you for your holy and precious word. Lord, speak to our hearts clearly. Help us to hear your words and understand them greater. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. And Amy, I forgot to put my microphone on. Sorry. Well, it's great to see everybody out, and Gary and I were talking right before church, and this is not how it happened, but he did give me a good idea. He said, you probably just got tired of everybody getting up and while you were preaching and going to the bathroom. That's probably why you shut the water off. Great idea, but it is not how I did. No. But, you know, it's interesting how we do become used to all the accommodations that God blesses us with. So I appreciate everybody understanding that, you know, sometimes situations beyond our control happen, but if you do have to use the facilities, there is the old-fashioned water in a bucket that you can pour down the toilet, so that all works out just fine. So, but we're so thankful that you're here. First Sunday of the brand new year, and it's a beautiful time to be able to come together in God's house and to be able to look into his word and to worship and praise his holy name. And it's also a great opportunity for us to get back into our John study, right? So this is our 56th sermon in John. We took a kind of hiatus during Thanksgiving and Christmas, and now we're going to come back. We'll be looking at John's Gospel, chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 15 through 24 in just a little bit, and we'll get there in just a little while as you turn your Bibles there. William Gladstone, in announcing the death of Princess Alice in the House of Commons, told a very touching story. The little daughter of the princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to get too close to her child, not to breathe her same air, not to kiss her on the mouth, and to a lot of other type of suggestions that the doctor had for the princess when dealing with her daughter, so that she would not receive this terrible disease. Once when the child was struggling to breathe, though, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, she took the little one in her arms and to help keep her from choking to death, grasping and struggling for life, the child said, "Mama, kiss me." And at that moment, the princess, she didn't even think about herself. She immediately kissed her child on the lips. She got diphtheria, and some days later, she had a fever and succumbed and went to live forever with the Lord. See, real love forgets self. Real love knows really no danger. Real love doesn't count the cost. The Bible says many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. You know, as we think about that beautiful illustration, it really is a description of Jesus Christ. Do you know true love? You know, perhaps we think about our earthly relationships, and those are pretty special and beautiful. But do you know what it means to truly forget self? You know, mamas generally do. I know that. I see that in action. But Jesus does. And he does so much more. He always knows, and he always lives it. That's what Jesus is, love. Jesus sacrificed himself for the hope and salvation of mankind. And I'm certainly, it's a personal testament to say, you know, of his graciousness and his mercy. This morning we're going to come back to that series in John that we've been sharing about for over a year now. I think most of us realize that how much Jesus loves us, but the question that we really have is the title of this message. It's not a question of, does Jesus love me? The question really is, do you love Jesus? Let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 15 through 24. And if you could open your Bibles to that and stand with me as we look into God's Word and honor him in the reading of his holy and precious Word. God's Word shares, and starting with verse 15 of chapter 14 of John's Gospel, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, and he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But the Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with him. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your holy and precious word, Lord. And as we begin to explore it, Lord, we see so many incredible truths here. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the indwelling of that Spirit to help us, Lord, because Jesus is on this earth anymore. The promise of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, Lord, that one day we will be reunited with Jesus in heaven. Lord, what beautiful truths that we see. Lord, speak to our hearts clearly today. Help us to hear your words and understand them and apply them to our life. We thank you and praise you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, as we look through this passage, it's a beautiful passage, and many of those passages are probably verses that you have memorized because they're that special and close to us. But as we explore, if you want to look into your bulletin, there's a fill-in-the-blank there with our lessons for today. And the first point I want to share with you today is this. If you love him, keep his commands. If you love him, keep his commands. We see at least four verses in this passage that we just read that emphasize this specific truth of this point. In verse 15, God's word says this. It says, "If you love me, keep my commands." That's pretty crystal clear. There's not much we can do to clarify what that really means. Jesus says that in order for love, there's a contingency. If you love him, there will be a result, an action that occurs as a result. In verse 21, the first part of 21 says, "Whoever has my commands," and this is Jesus speaking again, "and keeps them is the one who loves me." And in the first part of verse 23, We see another passage. It says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. As we look at these particular focuses of what Jesus is saying here, there is a requirement. Love requires action. You know, as we talked about that opening illustration, we saw a mama whose love for her little precious daughter, she was just couldn't help but putting that love into action, even though it cost her physically her life. She loved her daughter enough to act out. And that's exactly what love does. When we truly love, there is actions as a requirement. Jesus gives us a few of these actions in these verses. When talking about his commands, Jesus says, we, as his followers, need to know them. We need to know Jesus' commands. We need to keep his commands, and we need to obey his commands. You see, we can't obey them if we are not keeping them, and we can't keep them if we don't know them. Dave Simmons wrote a little note that talked about him taking his 8-year-old daughter, Helen, and his 5-year-old son, Brandon, to the Cloverleaf Mall in Hattiesburg to do a little shopping. He says this. He says, as we drove up, we spotted a Peterbilt 18-wheeler parked with a sign on it that says Petting Zoo. And you know, if you have children, what they react whenever they think about those little furry creatures that they can play with and pet. The kids jumped up and they rushed over and asked, Daddy, Daddy, can we go? Please, please, can we go? You know how little kids are. Well, sure, he said. And he flipped them a couple of quarters, one quarter for each one so they can go in there. And then he proceeded to go on into his business. He had to go to Sears to buy a saw. You know, and then he said, they bolted away, and I felt free, free to be able to do what I needed to do because I knew that where they were going to be. A petting zoo consisting of a portable fence erected in the mall about 6 inches of sawdust and 100 little furry baby animals of all kinds. Kids paying their little money and staying in the enclosure and turning around, and all of a sudden he saw his daughter Helen. She was walking right beside him. He said, I was shocked to see she preferred the hardware department to the petting zoo. Then I recognized my error. I bent down and asked her what was wrong. And she looked up at me in those beautiful brown eyes, and she said sadly, well, Daddy, it cost 50 cents, so I gave Brandon my quarter. Then she said the most beautiful thing that I'd ever heard. She repeated our family motto. What was her family motto? Love is action. You see, little Helen got it. And you know what children usually do? People struggle is often people like me. I'm an old guy. I can't sometimes get focusing and putting those things into actions. But children with their childlike faith, they understand these things and they put their love into action. That's what Jesus is talking about in this passage of Scripture. If you love him, put my love into actions by keeping my commands. Her love for her brother compelled her into action. You know, when we think about it, there is enough money for one admission. And as much as she wanted to go to the zoo, she was willing to sacrifice herself for her little brother. You see, my friends, that is love in action. Sacrifice. When we love Jesus, it should also compel us into action. When we love Jesus, we'll listen to his teachings and put Jesus' love and teachings into action. Being obedient to the teachings of Jesus will require us to know them. So that means we have to read the Bible, study the Bible, come to Sunday school, get to know the Word so that we can put his teachings into motion. It requires us to know, keep, and obey his commands. It requires us to care and to share and to teach others about Christ. It's to love our enemies. It's to forgive those who have hurt us. It's to honor the Father, to serve and to serve, even if it means that we have to sacrifice things that are important to us. But you don't have to worry about that because you'll never be asked to sacrifice more than what Jesus did. That give you some reassurance? See, we have to put our love into actions. So do you love Jesus? Do you put that love into action? Do you obey his teachings? Do you keep his commands? Then we see verse 24 of our focal passage that's kind of sobering, really. It says, anyone, and this is Jesus speaking, and anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. You know, as we think about this important truth, that's pretty cut forward too. It's not kind of covert. It's pretty explicit. We can understand it. If you love Jesus, you'll be obedient. If you're not obedient to Jesus, then there is a problem at the root of your relationship because there is no love in the relationship. The only ones that will not obey his teachings are the ones that do not love him. Love for Jesus requires action. The truth is easy to understand. So now that we do understand, we only have one alternative, and we must do it. That leads us to our second point. As Jesus was giving this beautiful passage, we see the introduction of this of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk a little bit about. I appreciate Pat and our worship time because a lot of those songs talked about the Holy Spirit that has come and to indwell in us that Jesus had promised. It was a promise at this moment, but eventually it would become fruition. And our second point is this: if you love him, you will never be abandoned. You'll never be abandoned. Sometimes in my life, I feel all alone. But the truth is that's a trick from Satan because I'm never alone. Jesus has promised it, and we can take Jesus at his word. Ran across this illustration. During World War II, 6 Navy pilots left their aircraft carrier on a mission. After searching the seas for enemy submarines, they tried to return to their ship shortly after dark. But the captain, he had ordered a blackout of all lights on the ship. Over and over, the frantic pilots radioed, asking for just one light so they could see to land. But the pilots were told that the blackout would not be lifted. After several appeals and denials of the request, the ship's operator turned the switch to break the radio contact, and the radios were forced to ditch in the ocean. You know, if you think about that, could you imagine their emotions? There has to be frustration. If I could just have one light to give me my light to safety. You could understand their fear and even their terror as their gauge on their plane was beginning to come to zero and they knew that there was no alternative but to land in the ocean. One light would have saved them. Instead, there was tragedy. See, fear of abandonment is a dismal feeling. See, we don't have to be the 6 pilots in the aircraft when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. For Jesus will never abandon us. And I know this is a military mission and there's a lot of other relationships of why that was all taking place. But in our relationship with the Lord, we can know this and rest assured of this. No matter what circumstances, no matter where I've been or where I've been, I know that I'm never going to be abandoned by the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that when we love Jesus, that he personally assures us that God, as God's children, that we are never abandoned? Verses 17 and 18 of our focal passage talks about this Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. He talks about the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. See, this is a beautiful passage because Jesus was on this earth, hanging out with his disciples, sharing the word, sharing the plan of salvation with people, because one day that plan was going to come into fruition. He was going to die on the cross, he was going to be buried, and would rise from the grave and eventually ascend to heaven. So this passage takes place prior to all this taking place, and he was giving his disciples at that moment, and at this moment, 2,000 years later, about the truth of the Holy Spirit. At this moment when this scripture is being written, it was a promise for the future. But for us, it is an acknowledgement of our present. Because now today, because we do repent of our sins and accept Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, once we become a Christian, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at that moment. So Jesus is going to have to go away. He knew that salvation for mankind would require all these things. And our Lord wanted to make sure that we knew that we would never be alone. Jesus is going to be leaving the earth, but we would receive the Holy Spirit. We will not be abandoned. When we love God, he loves us and will never abandon us. How beautiful a gift is that? When we choose to repent and or turn away from sin and turn to Jesus and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive the indwelling of God. The Holy Spirit is provided to us. And because of that choice that God gave to us when we accepted his beautiful gift of grace, we are never alone. We're never abandoned. If you love God, he will love you, which is a beautiful promise in and of itself. And then the other promise right along with it, and he will never abandon you. Those that love God are incredibly special to him. Christians, you are special to God, and he will never abandon you. That leads us to our third and final point today, which is this. If you love and obey, the Father and Son will love you. When I was doing my little notes, I left out another word that I eventually added to it. If you love and obey God, I wanted to add that. The Father and Son will love you. In verse 23, God's word says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Now, this is another promise that's unlike any other one in of all of Scripture. Because this is a promise that's only to believers. Non-believers do not have the same promise. Only those who have chosen to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. When we look at this, we realize that love is complete when we choose to love God. God loves us, and when we deal with the sin barrier and come to him seeking forgiveness and proclaiming our love, there we enter into a special love relationship with him. A relationship that will, in Jesus' words, never snatch us away from him. This verse reveals an incredible truth. For believers, God will indwell in us, as we shared earlier. Loving God, obedience to his teachings and true fellowship, that's how believers respond. See, non-believers don't have that promise. Non-believers do not have the promise of God making his home with them. But as Christians, as believers in the true living God, we have that promise that God, the Father, God the Son, will live with us. You see, God is love. Love is his character. And God's love for his children is unconditional. But there's one condition to receive this unconditional love. We have to choose to receive his love. And we must choose to love him. We choose to accept this love when we repent of our sin and accept salvation through Jesus. If you love and obey Jesus, God the Father will love you and come to you and abide with you. That's the promise that we just read out of God's word of truth. If you stop and meditate on this passage, it really is absolutely incredible. The only true living God, the creator of all things, desires to have a personal relationship with you. Sometimes, whenever we can feel so insignificant, when you think about the promises that he gives to his children, you're pretty significant in God's eyes. He did all this for you, and he loves you. You know, when we think about that, it kind of makes you feel pretty special. Because it's not about lip service. It requires our heart and our actions. When we love Jesus, we come into a right relationship. When we love Jesus, we will obey his commands. When we love Jesus, we are never abandoned. When we love Jesus, we have the peace of knowing God's love in our life and that he truly has chosen to live inside of us. So friends, I have a question. Do you love Jesus? That's the question to ponder in our heart. I'm going to ask right now if you stand to your feet and bow your heads, no one looking around. Let me ask you a couple of questions here. As the musicians come, they'll be playing softly. And in just a little while, we'll have what we refer to as an invitation. If you need to make a decision at that time, I want to invite you to come and say, I need to make a decision for the Lord. The message can simply be summed up with one question. Do you love Jesus? So do you? Do you do that? Are you being obedient to his commands? He says there's a contingent upon his love. You have to be obedient to his commands. Jesus said, if you love me, keep them. When you love Jesus, we have his truth, and he will never abandon us. you ever feel alone, if you ever feel like no one cares, you, my friend, are wrong. Because Jesus does. Don't leave today without loving Jesus and knowing that he will never abandon us. This morning, do you know how incredibly special you are to God? He sent Jesus for you. He sent Jesus so that you could have a real and a personal relationship with him. When we love Jesus, God loves us with such an incredible love that we really struggle to comprehend it. You are part of royalty when you love and accept Jesus. For when you do, the scriptures are clear that we become a child of God. Child of the true living God. There's nothing greater in royalty than that. And that's an incredible choice that we can make. And what an incredible life we receive when we choose to love Jesus Christ. So if you have never trusted Christ, I'm going to invite you to come today. But perhaps today there are other things that's on your heart. There's other burdens. There's other situations or circumstances that you have on your heart. You want to lay them at the altar today or pray right where you're at today and give them to Christ so that you can be free of them. If today you've never accepted Jesus and this is something that you're wanting, you want to profess the love that you have for Christ, then come today. If you've accepted him as your Lord and you know that the Lord's commands is for you to follow in believer's baptism, you've never done that, I want to invite you to come to do that if that's what God has put on your heart. Or if you have any other burdens on your heart, just respond to that accordingly. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and when we do, I'm going to invite you to come. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Father, we thank you for your love. And thank you for allowing us to ponder within our own hearts. Do I love you? For if I do, my actions will always show it. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to make any type of decision, they need to realize how special and how they will never be abandoned, Lord. Lord, help them respond right now. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing page number.
Father, we